while you're turning to 1 John chapter 4, I'll do just a really quick review. I'll say that in this little section of Scripture, God wants us, John is telling us that God wants us to love one another. And then he's trying to help us get to that place. So he lays it out something like this. God wants us to love one another, and the way that happens is that God loves us. And the reason God loves us is because God is love. And then this God who is love comes to live inside of us and causes us to live in him. And because he's done all that, we've come to know and believe in the love that God has for us. But even though we know it and believe it, we can know it more and believe it more. In fact, what John is going to talk about today is not just that God loves us, but he's going to use this language, that the love of God is perfected with us. Now, four times in the book, John uses the language of God's love being perfected. And so we're going to look back at this before we move forward. So look back at 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Because I just want you to see this theme of the love of God perfected in us. It runs throughout the book. In verse 5 it says, "But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected." So, here, the love of God perfected in us is manifested as we obey God and live like Jesus. I can't re-preach that. I'm just going to leave it there. Now, look at 1 John 4:12. "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." Here, God's love perfected in us is manifested as God abiding in us and us loving one another. God's love is perfected in us so that God abides in us and we love one another. And today, John's going to show us again this idea of the love of God being perfected in us and the result. So, look at 1 John 4, verse 17. And I'll go ahead and read our text. "By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." So, let's break this down. Here, John says, "In this, the love of God is perfected with us." This word for love is agape, or agape, with the definite article. And so the love we're talking about, he just says, "In this, the love is perfected." But it's not just the love in general. It's specifically the love. And so it's John's shorthand for the love of God. He's talking like he did in the two previous examples of the love of God being perfected with us. Now this verb perfected is teleiao, and it means to complete an activity, to finish or accomplish or make perfect. And that's
So depending on your translation, some say that his love is completed. Some say that his love is made perfect. It's a very similar idea. Now, what's important is not just the meaning of this verb, but the tense and voice of this verb. And the tense of this voice is perfect, which means completed action in past time that produces an abiding result in the present. So he's not saying that God has. He's not saying that God is perfecting his love. And he's not saying that God will perfect his love. John is saying that God perfected his love. That it's accomplished in the past and it produces a result in the present. And I keep saying that God has done this. The text says love is perfected. See, it's passive voice. So it doesn't mean that somehow it's passive for the recipient. So I'm not perfecting the love of God. Someone else is perfecting the love of God. It's being accomplished in me. And God is the object here, even though it's unexpressed. So it's the love of God being perfected by God in us, but not being perfected because it's perfect tense. So it has been perfected. It is perfected in the past in us so that it produces a result in the present. And then finally, this breaking down this phrase at the very end says that this his love is perfected in, not in us, but with us. And that's actually a little bit surprising language. Normally he would say love is perfected in us, and this meaning is not absent. It is in us. But here he says with us. And that is God's love is perfected. It is perfected in us. And it's not. Okay. But here. Honestly. I struggle with how to even understand what it means that his love is perfected with us. Some would say, well, it's perfected with us because it's this inclusive thing. It's us with us as a group. But you're going to see from this text that this is not John's emphasis here. John's emphasis on here is individual. It has to do with you face to face with God on the day of judgment. And so it's not primarily about his love being perfected with all of us, even though that's exactly what it says. But you see, the application is very individual. So the way I was thinking about it is have you ever worked with someone to accomplish something? It's like if you're a coach, you work with a student until they get a perfect serve. You're working with them. You're trying to perfect something with them. And that's the best I can explain it. Honestly, as I'm preaching it, you're going to see I interpret that with us as in us, because I can't find the proper understanding or distinction for with us. So it just kind of molds in my brain to in us. But I'm pointing out that the text does say with us. So, and it does say with us, but as I've already said, it doesn't primarily mean all of us together. It primarily means all of us individually. And the text will show that the love of God must be perfected with us as individuals, or else it won't accomplish one of its intended purposes. Now, last thing I'll say about this is, in this, when he says in this, grammatically, it's pointing to what follows. So, in this, the love of God is perfected with us. Okay, after John says, in this, the love of God is perfected with us, the question we should ask is, in what? Do you understand what I'm doing? In this, the love of God is perfected with us. Okay, so what's this? Are y'all following me? So what is this? In what is his love perfected with us? Okay, now he's going to give us the answer. that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Now, this is the glorious fruit that the love of God produces in every life in which the love of God has been perfected. In other words, when God has fully accomplished the purpose of his love with us, the result will be, the result is that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Now, this purpose is forward-looking, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, but it's also a present reality. It's forward-looking because the day of judgment is future. There will be a day when all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This day is coming. So look back at 1 John chapter 1, 2, chapter, oh wait, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And we'll see that John has brought up this idea of judgment before. In verse 28 it says, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." What John is saying here in chapter 4 is that if God has perfected his love in you, then even on that day when you stand before the glorious Lamb of God, who was holy and righteous and worthy of all glory and honor and praise, even when you stand before the Lord of all the earth face to face, you will have confidence precisely because his love has been perfected in you. The world and those who don't know God, those who haven't had the love of God perfected in them, will try to accuse you of arrogance that you would have confidence on the day of judgment. And no other religion does. But God, through his word, would tell you, it's not arrogance, but rather humility here. Because when we have confidence, we're believing the truth of God's word, which tells us that when God's love, that God's love has been perfected with us so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. We're supposed to have confidence on the day of judgment. See, at that moment, when our eternal destiny hangs in the balance, we will have confidence because his love has been perfected in us. Or we will not have confidence because in that moment of judgment, we will not be absolutely certain that he loves us. John is effectively saying that the result of God's love perfected in us will be demonstrated by our confidence before God on the day of judgment. Because of his perfect love that has been perfected in us, we have confidence in that moment as we stand before God that we will be judged worthy of eternal life. We won't be wishing, we won't be wondering, we won't be hoping. We will have confidence. Why? Because his love has been perfected in us. God's love perfected in us produces confidence that we will not just get into heaven by the skin of our teeth, but rather we will be judged worthy to enter the kingdom of God. In that future moment, we will have confidence in the future, precisely because his love has already been perfected with us. God's love has already been perfected with us. This is what John is saying. In this, the love of God is perfected. See, some of us think that perhaps our confidence will suddenly appear on the day of judgment. In other words, we lived a life of doubt and fear and wondering for 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 years. And then somehow, someday on the day of judgment, there's going to be confidence. And John is telling us, no, it doesn't work like that. We have confidence for the future day in the present day, because our confidence is based on the fact that God has already perfected his love in us. And man, I had to rewrite my whole sermon because I kept saying God is perfecting his love and God will perfect his love. But that's not what the Bible says. Do y'all have a copy? Okay, so if you have a copy, look back at John chapter 4 here. 17, by this is love perfected with us. It's not, it's perfect tense. So I'm interpreting this thing exactly the way John has written it to us. So we are confident then and now. Why? Because he loves us. And John would tell us, and this is a warning for all of us, John would tell us that if we're not confident now, we won't be then. Now, all of that leads to this little hati clause, because we've just covered the first half of this verse, and the hati here is translated as because, but here it should be thought of more as evidence or proof. What John is trying to say is that there is evidence that his confidence-producing love has been perfected in us. Okay, let me just ask you. How many of you would say, yeah, God's love is perfected in me? Yeah. I saw Michael go, not even close, Pastor. All right, I'll join you. I feel the same way. What does the Bible say? Okay, stay with me. In this, the love of God is perfected. Perfect tense. Something accomplished in past time that produces a result in the present. Okay? What is that result? It produces confidence. Okay, but what is the evidence? Is there evidence that could cause us to actually believe? Is there evidence to believe that his love is perfected in us? And the answer to that is yes. Because what he says here, there is evidence that his confidence-producing love has been perfected in us. Now, there are a million reasons for every one of us to believe that he loves us. Amen? Come on. There are a million reasons. None bigger than the cross of Christ, where God demonstrates his love for us in Jesus Christ, taking the full penalty for our sins and dying for our sins on the cross. Of course he loves us. You know, and this is the love of God, that God sent his Son to give us life. And this is the love of God, that the Father sent the Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the sacrificial offering for our sins. So he woke us up this morning. He gives us air to breathe and food to eat. I mean, We're surrounded by proof of the love of God for us. But this text is trying to drive home a slightly different message. It's not just the love of God for us, but somehow the love of God perfected in us. And is there any evidence that for us to know that the love of God has been perfected in us? And John is basically saying, yes, there is. See, the work of Christ on the cross is an objective fact. God wants you to not only have objective facts, but subjective experiential proof of his love perfected in you. See, there are the facts of God's love that are outside of us. But here John is going deeper, and look what he says. He's going to say, God's love is perfected in you, and you have confidence on the day of judgment. Why? Because just as he is, so also are we in this world. Okay. Stop listening to me and turn your brain on. And did you hear what John just said? This objective proof of the love of God being perfected in us that produces confidence on the day of judgment. We have that because as he is, so also are we in this world. This phrase is truly mind-blowing. And in my opinion, John should have qualified this thing a little bit here. But he doesn't. There are no explicit limitations on this statement, and very few that are obvious from the text. This wildly exaggerated statement by John is a statement that we're supposed to believe as he is. So also are we in this world. This little statement means too much. If I preached 1,000 sermons, I could never exhaust its meaning. It would be a whole lot easier if John had said, just as he was, so also are we in this world. Do you see how that sets a little bit of a limitation? It means that the way we are is supposed to be the way Jesus was. When he walked as a man, before he was crucified, before he was resurrected, before he was exalted to the right hand of God. But he doesn't give that limitation. In fact, he excludes that as our focus because he doesn't say as he was. He says as he is. Just as Jesus is now, the Son of God, the Son of Man, risen from the dead, exalted and glorified forever, so are we in this world. Even though I can't fully exhaust it, I can proclaim it. Here, John is saying that we are like Christ. He's not saying that we need to be like Christ. He's saying that we are. We are loving as he is loving. We are forgiving as he is forgiving. We are patient as he is patient. We are humble as he was humble. We are holy as he is holy. And you get the idea. As he is, so are we in this world. Again, it would be a little easier if John had said, as he is, so also will we be in heaven. But he doesn't say that. Just as he is, so also are we in this world. John is talking about Christ's likeness right now. He's not talking about Christ's likeness in the future kingdom. He is explicit that the Christ likeness that he is talking about is manifested right now in this world. And he is saying that it is our Christ-likeness right now in this world that is the proof of God's love perfected in us that produces confidence. Our Christ-likeness now is the evidence that his love has been perfected in us so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In other words, our Christ-likeness now is tangible, experiential proof that the love of God has been perfected in us so that we have confidence before him on the day of judgment. You see what? Now, here's where you could get confused, and I want to be very clear. What is the basis for our confidence on the day of judgment? The only basis for our confidence before Christ on the day of judgment is God's love perfected in us. Hear me well. If you think I'm saying something else, I'm not. The only way that we can have confidence before God on the day of judgment, the only reason that we can have confidence before God on the day of judgment is because he loves us. That's the only basis for our confidence. But how do we know that he loves us? How is his love perfected in us now? And the answer to that is Christ-likeness. As he is, so also are we in this world. The only proof that God's love is perfected in us now is Christ-likeness. Now, the only way that we can really know that we have the love of God on the day of judgment is our Christ-likeness now. If you're trusting God to save you because you are so Christ-like, see, you will perish. He doesn't save you because you're Christ-like. Why does he save you? Come on. L-O-V-E. Why does he save you? Because he loves us. See, it is imperative to me that you not confuse this. His love perfected in us produces confidence, and only his love perfected in us produces this confidence on the day of judgment. But how do we know that his love is perfected in us now? Christ-likeness. If you're trusting in your Christ-likeness to save you, you will perish. But if you are Christ-like right now, then you are experiencing the tangible fruit of his completed love in you, and you will then have confidence, not because of your goodness, but because of your Christ-likeness is the proof of his love perfected in you. And that is what gives you confidence. So here's the deal. If you're not like Christ right now, then his love has not been perfected in you, and you have no basis for confidence before him on the day of judgment. Do you see what this text is saying? John is saying the way we live matters. And I was literally saturated by gospel teaching that told me over and over and over that the way I live really didn't matter. And as long as you don't think the way you live matters, my guess and my conviction based on this passage is that you will never have confidence and a certainty of your salvation and where you stand before God on judgment day. John is saying to us, our Christ-likeness matters. In fact, you, along with me, we have all been told that we can never be like Christ until we die. And whoever told you that you can't be like Christ was wrong. God says, through his servant John, as he is, so also are we in this world. Amen. Come on. What are you waiting for to be holy? Death? Come on, man. If you're waiting to be like Christ until the day you die, then it won't do you any good. Oh, I'm sorry. I said, that impersonation there makes me want to cry too. So, if you're waiting to be like Christ until you die, then it won't do you any good. The only Christian, the only Christ-likeness that will do you any good on Judgment Day is the Christ-likeness that you have now in this world. Isn't that good? That's the good news. If your Christ-likeness in this world, it is your Christ-likeness in this world that demonstrates the love of God perfected in you. And only the love of God perfected in you will give you confidence on the day of judgment. See how careful John is with this. If confidence was based on Christ-likeness, then all of us would despair. But make no mistake, confidence on the day of judgment is rooted only in the love of God that's perfected in us. But it is this same love of God that produces Christ-likeness in us now. And because we are like Christ now, we know that he loves us. And because we know that he loves us, we can have confidence on the day of judgment. Our Christ-likeness is not the result of our efforts. It is the result of God's love perfected in us. The proof of his love is perfected in our lives. The proof of his love perfected in our lives is that he has remade us into the image of his one and only son. Don't you remember what he said? How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. Like Christ is the child of God, we are children of God. Like Christ. This is what, it's so awesome. It's as we experience the reality that as he is, so also are we in this world, then we have supernatural assurance of his love. And this is what gives us confidence on the day of judgment. Do you see how this works? For John, Christ-likeness in this life is not optional for the believer. Christ-likeness is the ultimate result of the love of God being perfected in our lives. And I hope you see that when God's love has been completed in us, that the end result of God's love being completed or perfected in us is a miracle. It's the miracle of God conforming us into the image of his son. And because he does that in his love, and because he has conformed us through his love to the image of his son, see, how could he not love us completely? Does the Father love the Son? So if he made you to be just like the Son, wouldn't he love you? But what if you're not like the Son? Well, then you have problems. Amen? See, when we know that he loves us just like he loves Jesus, we need to know that. Because he has made us in this world to be like Jesus. And because he has made us to be like Jesus, then obviously he'll love us. He does love us. He loves us now. And then he goes on to say, there is no fear in love. See, once you really become convicted of the love of God, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear is not in love. Fear is not any part of love. But when love is perfected, see, fear is driven away. It just doesn't have any place to lodge. And what is fear? It's the opposite of confidence. And I just, this is, okay. See, make no mistake, the idea of Judgment Day is hanging over this passage. So see, this is why he brings up the idea of fear. Why would we be afraid? Well, the text goes on. For fear has to do with punishment. Fear of Judgment Day is really the fear that God will punish us for all of our sins. And there are some people who have no fear of Judgment Day because they have no concept of the enormity of their sins, and they are totally oblivious to the fact that their refusal to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, in refusing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, they are despising the living God, and they have no idea of how offended he is by their rejection. And these people who are clueless and oblivious, they don't have any fear of judgment. They don't even think there's going to be a judgment day. Now, on that day, it'll be a different story. There'll be plenty of fear then. But for now, there's no fear. But see, we're not oblivious. And we know the reality of our sin. And fear has to do with punishment. And see, I think most know that they are sinners. And deep down, they know that they deserve an eternal agonizing death. And that's why there's fear. There's fear has to do with punishment. And then listen to John's next statement. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Here again, we have this perfect tense. And John says, the only reason you're afraid is because you have not been perfected in love. Now, remember where we started. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son as the sacrifice for our sins. The atoning sacrifice of Christ, that is love perfected. He took your punishment. He who was innocent took upon himself your sins and your guilty verdict, and he paid the full price. Perfect love made atonement for you in the person of Jesus on the cross. This is God loving you perfectly, and his love is perfected in you when you place your faith in Christ. I thought you think it might happen some other way, some other how. It doesn't. It happens when you place your faith in Christ. His love is perfected in you. So now let's try to pull it all together. How many of you have put your faith in Christ alone for salvation? You don't have to raise your hand, but just answer the question in your heart. How many of you have put your faith in Christ alone for salvation? And my answer is, I bet most of you have. Almost every one of you. Okay, now second question. How many of you who have put your faith in Christ alone for salvation are still afraid? Still have fear related to the day of judgment? And in this church, I don't know. But in the average church, my guess is just like most have placed their faith in Christ alone for salvation, most, having done that, still have fear, at least some fear related to their salvation. And if we could talk and get honest with each other, here's what I've learned in a lot of years of talking to people about their relationship with Jesus. The underlying reason that you are afraid is a lack of Christ-likeness. The underlying reason that you're afraid is sin. You've got sins that you have not dealt with, that you have not experienced victory in. And it is the sin or the lack of Christ-likeness that is producing your fear. And you know what? I just want to say, I wish I could make that go away, but I can't. As long as we are not listen to John again. As he is, so also are we in this world. As long as we in this world now are not like Jesus, there's going to be fear. You say, why? Why does that cause fear? Because his love perfected in us produces confidence. And his confidence producing, perfecting love is proven to us through our own Christ-likeness, the way we live now. See, this is great news, church. I've got such good news for you. The same love that saves you is the same love that makes you like Christ. If you trust him to save you from hell in the future, then you must trust his love to make you like Christ in the present. As he is, so also are we in this world. Why? Because his love is perfected in us, and that's given us confidence on the day of judgment. Don't you see what he's saying here? The love that saves us is the same love that makes us like Jesus. As love was objectively perfected in the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross, so his love is subjectively perfected in you when you and I are like him. Oh, church, when will we finally fully surrender to the love of God? The love of God that not only saves us from hell, but makes us like Jesus in this world. God loves you. He loves you not only enough to save you, he loves you enough to make you like Jesus now in this world. And until we have confidence, until we experience the reality that as he is, so also are we in this world, the love of God is not perfected in us, and we will fear the day of judgment. God loves us enough to make us like Christ. Let him do it. Trust him to do it, and he will. And as he does, you will become so overwhelmed by the love of God that it will produce confidence right now that carries over to the day of judgment. Let's do it. Father, thank you for this amazing word. It's too good to be true. And that's one thing I've learned about the gospel. It's like I know I don't really fully get it until it gets too good to be true. And that's when I finally starting to understand what's going on. Man, this is just too good to be true because of your great love. Because your love perfected in us. We have confidence on the day of judgment. And you gave us a way to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your love is perfected in us and we can have confidence. And the way we see evidence of that is because of your life manifested in us. We have confidence because in your love. We have confidence in your love because we experience Christ-likeness. Lord, I don't want us to be afraid, and you don't want us to be afraid. So let us trust you to make us like Jesus so that we have proof of your supernatural love that will give us confidence on the day of judgment. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.